Hey guys, and welcome back. This is part two of our look back to the 2010s. Let's not waste any time and just get right back into it. I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays,
we wear pink.
Okay, what else? Cultural events. Things. Oh my God, so much happened in the last 10 years, dude.
I mean, weed was legalized. That's fine.
That was a thing.
Really affect my life. You know what happened? We got two new princesses. We got some royal weddings.
Okay? Oh, we got them royal weddings. That was also a thing that was just like Game of Thrones, where people were like, everything was quiet. And then suddenly everyone was losing their shit. They're like, the wedding!
But I mean, that doesn't happen a lot when a prince gets married, you know? And then we got like the little heirs and everything. We got like little princes and princesses, little dukes and duchesses.
I don't even know their names. What are their names?
I don't know. They're not Kardashians.
Blue Ivy?
Yeah. Le Blue Ivy.
Well, that also happened, by the way, in 2014, right. Our royal wedding.
We had our American royal weddings of Jay-Z and Beyonce.
No, that was in 2008.
Huh?
I looked that up. That was in 2008.
Oh, Jay-Z and Beyonce?
Yeah, forget them.
Yeah, and then Kim and Kanye were definitely. But Jay-Z and Beyonce were going to, they were holding off for a hot minute, weren't they? Because I'm thinking of, I think Brad Pitt and Angelina were not going to get married until they.
Oh, they broke up this decade.
This decade, yeah. But they were originally not going to get married until gay marriage was legalized.
Oh.
I think that was
them. What a nice transition.
Yeah.
Gay marriage was legalized.
That happened this decade.
That happened this decade. Man, oh my God. Like, think about 2010 and now think about us where we are now, 2020.
Well, what's funny is, like, from the time that I came, or not came out, from the time that I started to realize that I was gay, and tried to figure out what that would mean for my future, as of, well, you'll never get married, to now of, like, not even now, of, like, in that transition of it becoming an option of, like, oh, well, now you could get married, so now this might be something that is, like, an option for you.
See, this is what old people were talking about when they're just like, you kids these days,
yeah,
you don't know all the trials.
Yeah, and it's like when you, like, you literally, because that, like, flipped before it was a problem for me, so it's still, like, I got like kind of the headspace of before, but like still have that privilege of not ever having to have dealt with it.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you know, people who were like old back in that time and like had to be like life partners with somebody is like a thing.
They had to be best friends with somebody for a very long time. Wow, you're always hanging out with Janice. Yes. Wonder why.
Very close friends. We love each other. Yay.
So, but what about you? And you said obviously at that point,
I kind of opened up another option for me because I knew that I wanted to be married at some point. So it was kind of something that like, I don't know, it left it. I mean, not that it would have been something that was a deciding factor, like, because moving forward, I was still going to have feelings for the people I was going to have feelings for. And I was still going to end up going the way I went. Because, right. Like, there really wasn't another option. But, like, to have that, like, kind of comfort or whatever of to know that, like, okay, so, but if I do choose this, there is a future. It's not just, like, you're going to be dating eternally for the rest of your life, you know? Whereas, like, they did have commitment ceremonies and there is, like, they did have, like, not legal marriages, but they had, like, civil unions.
Right.
Or whatever, but they aren't the same and they aren't what is recognized. Because I talked to like a friend of mine who was like, they were like, okay, but like marriage is like a religious thing, so why does it have to be marriage? And I'm like, because marriage is recognized. It's not just a religious thing. It's a legal thing. It's a cultural thing. Wherever you go in the entire world, if you say this is the person I'm married to, this is my husband, this is my wife,
they get
that's
you.
That's understood.
Yep.
That weight is there.
Yep.
So it's not about them wanting to appropriate your religion or your religious beliefs. It's
right.
About the title.
But interestingly enough, what happened in this last generation is that we've had so much progress that now there's almost no reason to separate things as much. So you have this interesting thing that I noticed being a Christian, which is like, you now that gay marriage has been legalized, and now that we're becoming more accepting of people, now there's almost no reason not to explore what our belief is beyond mm-hmm. you know, beyond this world and mm-hmm. beyond our lifetime. Yeah. Like, whereas before it was like, well, I don't really want to pursue like even considering God because the God I've been taught about is an asshole.
And I think a lot of gay people have to have that either or kind of thing where it's like, mm-hmm. well, if I decide that this is something that I can't live without, then I have to give up God. Or if I decide I want God, then I have to give this up. And not like, and a lot of people are like, oh, well, God made me this way and now I'm mad at him, so now I'm going to reject him. And I'm just like, I can't go either way on that.
Right.
Have we done music? Let's hit music.
Ooh, let's hit that music.
Let's hit music.
What do you want? What you got?
Big
one. Your favorites from the last 10 years.
Should I start real strong?
Start it.
And just go, this decade is when Beyonce became Queen Bee. Like, this is when she went from, because everybody loved and respected Beyonce.
Oh, yeah.
This is the decade where she said, no, bow down, bitches.
She dropped a full-ass album nobody knew about.
No advertise, no ads, no nothing.
Once again, I'm that was the first time I remember hearing about something, and I was, like, kind of sort of close to when it happened.
Yeah.
But still, I was just like, album?
But everybody was like that.
Okay,
that
good.
That was the point of that one.
Good.
Was like, nobody saw it coming. It was literally just like, surprise, bitch.
And it was a whole visual album, too. Yeah. It wasn't just like the audio. It was like, no, we've got videos to go along with this.
Every single video.
And yeah. I remember even me, because it's not that I wasn't a fan of Beyonce. I always loved her music. Mm-hmm. What's the one? What album is?
You love, what's it?
Boy. Killing me softly. I love that song.
Yeah.
Countdown and Who Run the World.
Ugh.
Oh my God.
Run the World is, I think it's got to be my favorite.
So, I mean, I've always loved Beyonce, but that was when she dropped that album in 2014. I went, oh shit.
Where everybody was like,
damn. I was like, this woman has some clout. Like,
yeah,
she just said,
she's killing it.
Focus on me. Focus on me.
Well, that's a different artist.
Focus on me.
But I think, yeah, I was like, that is funny that she just really like came into her own in these last like 10 years. And I think for me, like, I always knew of Beyonce and loved her. But there was this one point like earlier, probably when I was like in middle or like early high school, where they did MTV did like a takeover of Beyonce and
uh-huh.
just like showed all of her stuff and talked about her career. And that's when it kind of clicked in my head. I was like, she's kind of fucking amazing. And then, like, a few years later, that's when she was like, hey, guys, I'm amazing.
Right.
And everybody kind of hopped on board. And I was like, yeah.
And you couldn't have had Lemonade mm-hmm. without Beyonce,
yeah.
without the self-titled
yeah.
2014.
Oh, my gosh.
Because then, I mean, and now Lemonade, did we – that wasn't, like, dropped. Obviously, we saw that one coming, right?
So she dropped Formation.
Oh, we lost our shit over that, too.
Oh, yeah, that was a
good remember one. The SNL sketch. It was like the day Beyonce turned black.
Yeah. Oh, she performed that, and then she dropped the album. And I think
wow.
that, again, nobody knew about it, I'm pretty sure. So she just said, I'm not wasting money on,
she's,
on promoting anymore.
I mean,
I don't have to.
And I had the privilege of like barely seeing her. I was uh-huh. like, because... I worked the Coachella where she performed.
Baychella.
Oh, I only got to see a snapshot of... That's why this year I was like, I'm going to see Childish Gambino because
yeah.
I was like, I had to see a complete set. Hers, yeah. it was like, I saw a little bit of it, but I didn't get to understand the full impact of like
yeah.
what I was missing.
Mm-hmm.
Only until later I'm looking back, I'm like, damn, that girl like destroyed.
Destroyed.
And you. I've done two of them,
mm-hmm.
done two Coachellas.
Yeah.
Which is enough to see the amount of effort that every band puts in.
Uh-huh.
And hers was like fucking 100 times that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even a knock on the other artists. Like, you know.
It's just, it's like, it's her. Like, it's what she puts 1,000%
into
all her
shit.
It
was insane.
Like, when you hire Beyonce, like, that's what you're hiring.
And it's funny because, like, at the time I was like, oh, I guess this is just like, this is average,
mm-hmm.
you know? And now in between
going back
Beychella and having worked a few other shows mm-hmm. and another Coachella, I was like, oh, that's not normal.
That's not normal.
That she like reinvented this like festival, like
mm-hmm.
And whether people like it or not, like the amount of effort and the immaculate attention to detail that was just like, if you watch Homecoming on Netflix,
yeah.
I was watching it just like, oh my gosh, this woman's an artist. Like,
yeah. oh, absolutely.
Like her or not, she puts so much effort into every yeah. single thing. I love her.
Oh yeah.
It's just funny, like talking about things nowadays, like especially with someone like Beyonce, suddenly it's a, I don't want to say a controversial topic, but people are just like, oh, but she's, and then they attacker for some weirdly misunderstood black thing where they're just like,
I don't know. I haven't heard anyone attack Beyonce, but I think they probably get the vibe that they would get attacked if they said that to me. So I feel like,
well, I remember, I remember the
formation.
Yeah, I remember that.
Everybody was kind of like,
oh, everyone, all my Texas people were just like,
oh, she's dressed like a Black Panther and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, would you shut up? Like, it's fine. Like, calm down. People wear weird shit. Like, and not to say like that's weird or it was wrong for her to do that, but like, just like, she's making a statement. Get over it. I love Beyonce to death, but there is one thing that I cannot stand about her.
What?
And it is the fact that she does not follow anyone on Instagram.
Is that true?
She follows zero people on Instagram.
That's not true.
And I literally cannot follow her because of that. I said, if she followed one person, if she followed her mom, I'd be like, respect, and I would follow her.
Wait.
But she does not follow her mom, her sister, her husband, her child. She does not follow anyone. And I'm like, I can't support that. I love you to death. And I've heard she's so sweet. And she probably doesn't run her Instagram. It's probably some...
She follows...
It's probably...
Zero people.
I'm like, it's probably some intern. But I'm like, that is so freaking... That's so fucking vain. Like, and you're Beyonce. You're Queen B. You don't need to follow anybody. I respect you. I will buy your music. I will go to your concerts. I will do everything. I just can't follow you on Instagram. And that's just how I feel about it. Like, I'm like, that's rough. Like, I like literally, if she just only followed her mother, I would be like, fine. Like, I will follow you. But I just like, zero. There is no one that you're interested in outside of your own shit. Come on, girl.
That's pretty bad.
I'm like,
it's funny, but that's bad.
It's funny. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And then I thought about it and I was like, that's awful.
Girl, what you doing?
What you doing?
Okay. Yeah. So Beyonce, that's one of the biggest people to come out of the last. And I think a few have named Lemonade as being like the album of the decade.
Yeah. Decade.
I'd go with
it. I give it. Maybe Beyonce though. I really do. I think I genuinely probably like more songs off of Beyonce. Her like really good stuff is all mixed up on all of her albums though. So it's hard to pick just one.
Well, I will say when I finally eventually sat down and listened to Lemonade, it was so cohesive mm-hmm. that I enjoyed and I watched the visual album and it was like so weird. And I've never been the type of person to watch music videos. Mm-hmm. Like I have to force myself to watch music videos, but I mean, this year mm-hmm. I finally watched, yeah. or sorry, last year, 2019, I watched Lemonade for the first time and went, this is so interesting.
Yeah.
Although it didn't have Formation on True. It. It Weird. Was like, yeah. it ended and it didn't have it. But okay, let's hit another artist. So after Beyonce, who is there?
Ariana. Her entire career happened this decade.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. Her first song, The Way, was 2010.
I was at the I Love the Way.
You make me feel. Her entire music career was this decade. And she's killed it.
That's true.
And I remember
can't deny.
When that came out and I like everybody loved it, but nobody still knew who she was. And I'd be like Ariana Grande and it was still a 50-50 shot if people knew who I was talking about.
Wow.
And like, you know, she came and she killed it.
Well, we also got streaming apps, like music streaming apps, and we could listen to those songs like over and over again. We didn't have to buy the singles.
True, true, true.
So it's just like...
So we got Pandora, we got our Spotify. I mean, Pandora's been around forever, but...
I mean, it's crazy to think of all the artists that like their careers died this year, like Kesha, or not this year, but like...
Yeah, her career didn't so much die as she had a whole ass thing.
I love Kesha.
Yeah, with her... producers or
but like she was Kesha and Gaga and
but Kesha her career like started around 2011 also
right
because that was like
she was in 2008
because the Way was like 2012-ish like 2013 because I was in acting class. It was after I was out of high school and then Kesha came my senior year of high school, which would have been 2010-2011.
She's been around since before. Well, she was in Spin You Right Round, which was
true, but TikTok was 2010, 2011, and that was when she first became.
It's just, it's funny to think of how, like, so it was Kesha, Gaga, Katy Perry, mm-hmm. Beyonce, mm-hmm. you know, they were all, and Taylor Swift, they were like the beginning of the 2010s, and you had true. Like Miley yeah. Cyrus yeah, and. Yeah. And who else am I missing? Like,
Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez.
Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez. What, God. On the other rap side of things, like
I don't rap.
I know. I was only ever force-fed Kanye, pop music.
Maybe.
It's just interesting to think like how prominent they were in the early part of the 2010s. And now it's just like, you know, I'll say Kesha. And of course, I love her because I grew up with her. Yeah, but like kids are going to be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, she's coming back now. And so she'll be like building more.
But it's never going to be like.
It wasn't classic old Kesha. That was just like. Kesha.
We Are Who We Are is still my favorite of hers.
DJ, turn it up. So many from her.
Worst song of the last 10 years? The worst one that just got in your head?
For you? Or are we asking?
I think you and I have the same one.
What is it? Is it written down here?
Well.
Go for it.
I'm going to say freaking Happy by Pharrell.
I would more or less agree. I might not give it the worst
song. I'm not going to say the worst song because it is a good song.
Annoying.
Oh my God. Yeah. The worst. Mm-hmm. It's not the worst song, but it is the worst.
It's the worst. It's just so, it's literally, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And he said, I'm going to make that into a song and I'm going to make all the money off of it. I'm going to win awards on that. And the whole time I'm going to wear a dumbass Arby's hat. It's like,
hey, kudos to him. He's good. He's been doing it for years. You know, it's finally people should know his name, but it's just like, oh, that was it. Mm. But it's interesting too. Like all these artists and like some of their first things, like Gaga is a phenomenal musician.
Yeah.
You know, but what was her first song?
Poker Face.
No, not Poker Face. Even before that, Just Dance.
Oh, was it Just Dance?
And a beat. Yeah. Just Dance came first.
Okay.
And it's just crazy to think like, who they are now versus
that's true versus that, because I was like, I still consider that a classic Gaga, but that is
not bad.
But it is just very compared much to her like talents, this, like poppy, like Gaga, like we just want to package something and get it out there.
I know.
And then she became like an artist, and you were like, wow,
yeah, like you are actually good.
I got to go to a Lady Gaga concert for free, because I was coming home from work one day and my friend texted me. He was like, hey, do you want to go to a Lady Gaga concert? And I was like, yeah, would I? And he's like, all right, I'll be there in 10 minutes. And I was like, what? Apparently his mom had an extra ticket.
That's amazing.
Go, so we went and it was super fun.
Anything else from music?
I think we hit it.
Yeah, we hit about Miley Cyrus. Oh, she twerked during this decade.
Oh, yeah. When twerking became popular because it didn't exist before the little white girl started doing it.
Yeah, and of course.
I was like, it definitely didn't exist before Miley started doing it.
How many dance trends came and went? We had the whip and nay-nay.
Oh, my gosh.
Twerking. What else did we have?
We've had so many, but it's all like, it's been all like black culture, like.
It's been around forever, and we were like, yeet, we'll take that.
But I mean, it's all like every like dance trend, like dabbing and all that stuff is coming from like rap culture and songs and stuff like that.
Ooh,
so I'm like,
kill 'em.
That vine. But I'm like, so all of that is literally just like people like plucking that and it becoming popular. But we've had like countless amount of
that. We love using black culture as our window dressing.
We
don't want it actually in our house. We just want it there to make us look cool. I'd be interested in seeing 10 years from now what they look back on the 2010s and say was the most significant. It's easy to look at it now, but like 10 years from now, in 2030, we're going to be like, oh man, the most defining music song, the most enduring.
To stay, yeah. I mean, maybe we'll do that at the next decade. We'll look at the last one.
All right, guys, tune in 10 years from now.
All right. No, that's
still doing this.
Make it a date.
anything else from music before we move on?
No, let's go.
Movies. I'll start off. We had new Star Wars.
Mm.
We got a new Star Wars.
Yeah.
I remember back in 2005, I thought, I am never, ever going to see a new Star Wars film ever again. And I remember, too, because I was on StarWars.com, and they said, subscribe now for more updates. And I thought, why? Like,
you're done.
We just finished the last film of the prequel series. Like, what am I? Even during the prequel series, I'm like, I know what's going to happen. I don't need to be on this website. And I was obsessed, by the way. I loved watching, like, and I think I've said this before, Star Wars have always been like fun events for me. I love the feeling behind them. I love how they just inspire you. The films themselves,
that's what confuses me. It's like, you seem like such a Star Wars fan, but you also kind of don't care.
I love just the energy that it can bring together with people. And of course, growing up for me, you know, lack of internet, it seemed a lot more like positive energy. And nowadays I look and I'm like, mother, you guys are the worst. You know, you guys can't agree on anything. FYI, the originals aren't that good. Oh my God. Culturally, they're huge. Fight you know, us. Acting wise, come on. You're making fun of Jake Lloyd for being a bad actor. All right, watch Mark Hamill in the first movie.
Come on, guys. Like, seriously.
Let's get it together. Anyway.
Sacrilege.
But I didn't think I was going to get a new Star Wars film. Yeah. And I kind of, like, missed that boat a little bit. Like, I saw the second one in theaters. Uh-huh. And then I made my dad quickly take us to the third one to do, like, a wait-in-line midnight showing type thing. Mm-hmm. He reluctantly agreed. He was like, all right, I know. It's a Star Wars. That's I loved nice. It as a kid. You'll love it now. And I watched it, loved it, and thought, that's cool. Never going to get that again.
Yeah.
And then what do I see but 8 tiny reindeer? No.
I was about to say, what do my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer? Damn it, I butchered that. But anyway.
You did. No, J.J. Abrams comes out with The Force Awakens, and I bought a ticket for me and my sister to see it like super late at the El Capitan, mm-hmm. and we saw every single one of these new ones at the El Capitan, the trilogy films, not... I wasn't going to pay to see Solo in El Capitan.
Of course not.
But I saw episodes 7 through 9 at the El Capitan, and love them or hate them, I still enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
I had a great time with my sister. And it's funny, too, because I thought back on it. My sister and I have now shared 2 franchises over the past 10 years that we've been able to see like every year or every other year. And so in 2012, it was The Hobbit. And they both were like the same amount of quality when it came to like, okay, films. And then the last one was like, that was shit. Not to spoil my review of the new Star Wars films, but like.
I was trying to think of The Hobbit.
Hobbit 1, like my sister loved it. Mm-hmm. Hobbit 2, we saw it in theaters. It became a tradition with me and my sister. Hobbit 3 saw it and was like, that was really bad. And then the next year, then the new Star Wars came out and was like, all right, so we're starting a new tradition.
Hop on here.
So I'm interested, 2020, what new franchise are me and my sister going to enjoy for the next 10 years?
# challenge.
Because it's probably not going to be Avatar.
It's probably not going to. Are they doing another Avatar?
They're doing like 4 more Avatars.
Why? I enjoyed Avatar the first time, but I got so over it because it was such a popular movie that when it came to DVD, it was right around the end of the year.
Right.
When teachers start playing movies. And so I was literally towards the end of the year watching it, and about 4 out of 6 of my classes, I was watching Avatar. So I would like go watch the beginning of Avatar. Then I would go watch the beginning of Avatar. And then I would go to this class, and we would do things. And then I would watch the beginning.
The
of
beginning
Avatar.
Of Avatar.
Because they would start. It's like a long.
It's not
movie.
Even the best part of
so
the movie.
It would start, and then the next day I would go watch the middle to end of Avatar. Then I would go watch the last part of Avatar. Then I would go do something else. Then I would go watch the last part of Avatar, and I was like, "Can I not do this anymore?"
So I almost didn't talk about Avatar because it came out in 2009, mm-hmm. but it came out. In December of 2009. And then every film for the next like 5 years had to be 3D because it was one of the biggest films that ever came out at the time. Avatar was the number one grossing box office hit ever.
Wow.
Billion. It's in the billions club. So it's like there's only a select few movies that are in like the made $1 billion, cross that mark. And after that, they were just like, holy shit, everything's got to be in 3 I'm fucking like, D.
No, it doesn't.
And it was just, oh my God, the pandemonium. I remember when I realized that this trend was just not going to be a good ride, mm-hmm. was Alice in Wonderland 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just looked the worst in the theaters. Avatar has actually only been the only 3D film I've seen that I was like, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, because it wasn't forced to be 3D. It was like, oh no, this is going to make it better.
Yeah, like Alice in Wonderland, we took my mom to see that in March of 2010. And halfway through, first off, it's just, in my opinion, a terrible movie. Mm. But then I was like, oh, this is going to be a thing. And then it was like, Clash of the Titans, 3D. This animated film, 3D.
Yeah.
One benefit, actually going back to Star Wars, is that they were going to re-release the trilogy films in 3D.
The original.
They were going to do all of them. They were going to go prequels to the original. And they started off with The Phantom Menace 3D, which was actually a lot of fun. I saw that. So scratch that off. I have seen all the prequel films.
In theaters. It's fine.
And that was fun because I was like, okay, I'm going to rewatch it. The Phantom Menace is still not a good movie, but it was kind of fun to like go see it again in poorly reconverted like 3D. And it's just like, oh my God, I was like, I remember looking back on it being like, are we back in the 60s? Because
this is bad.
This is some shoddy like conversion. We were just like throwing 3D onto everything.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, you could only do it so well to a movie that old.
That wasn't even shot in 3D.
Exactly. Like you can't. It's just not how it is.
I do remember for a brief second, we had 3D and we had 4D. Yeah. And I saw, oh God, my friends, Mikey, they had, shout out to Mikey. He actually listens to this podcast.
Hey,
don't work out while you're listening to us because we're too damn funny. He says he needs a spotter when he's listening to us because he keeps almost dropping things on himself.
Oh, that's funny. Quick, make him laugh.
So they worked at a theater in Burleson, mm-hmm. and before the AMC A-list became a thing, I would see movies for free with them.
Nice.
And it was fantastic. And at one point, they were like, hey, guys, like they worked in it. They were like, okay, theater's kind of closing down. Who wants to see Journey to the Center of the Earth 2 in 4D?
Bet.
And I was like, The Rock and Vanessa Hudgens, free, 4D, in.
Done.
And it was like, we drive into the middle of bum F nowhere, Texas,
yeah.
To see this film at like 11 at night.
Of course.
With only our group. Mm-hmm. Only time I've liked being in an empty theater. We sit in the 4D seats. I kid you not, I don't know if this really happened, but I have a physical memory of the 4D like chair shaking when The Rock moves his pecs.
Honestly, I would not be surprised by that at all.
You know, I'm not the type of guy to go, no, this really happened, and exaggerate, but I remember it moving. And I thought, truly, we will never reach another height of technology. This is the pinnacle.
This is technology. This is what technology was built for.
Oh, man, though. I will say the 3D craze was fun because I didn't have to pay for most of it because at that time, my friends were just getting me into theaters for free. So I was like, all right, we'll see your shitty 3D films.
I didn't enjoy the 3D craze just because the first 5 minutes of 3D always gives me a headache. While my eyes are adjusting. So I'm like,
Never move. Like you can't, and you know me, I fidget constantly.
So I was just like, anytime people are like, do you want to see it in 3D? I'm like, no, it's more expensive and it gives me a headache. Like, why would I do that?
I kind of want to see a 3D movie now though.
Let's go see Frozen 2 in 3D.
Let's see it.
Yay.
What else? What else
that's
during?
Fine.
There's so much that happened film wise.
Oh my God. Wait, we haven't even mentioned the Avengers. Like that whole arc. We did the Avengers episode, so we don't have to go too far into
that. No, but dude.
The whole arc was 2010, right?
So your biggest moment of watching TV was Arya killing.
Because I remember when Arya killed the Night King, I was like, there is nothing that will ever compare to that. And then
we freaking went Cap
the next day and
he
Cap
picked up Mjolnir. That's for me though.
God,
is that not the best?
That was so good.
I think that's the best payoff of the last 10 years.
Honestly, like
that was 10 years of me just being like
thinking back on those on when I just thought back up on them now, I think that is going to have more staying power of that moment when he picks that up and you're just like, what? Like,
well, and this just falls on the fact that as good as Game of Thrones, because I mean, I don't like it, mm-hmm. but I can admit like the first few seasons were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why it stayed around for so long. But most people would agree the last seasons were not up to par when it came to the writing. So it's like there's just certain things that when you know your characters really well and you're not just like doing things willy-nilly, like Cap, that was in there since like day one. Mm-hmm. Like,
but the thing, Arya was definitely always meant to be that person that did it.
True,
like, that was definitely in there from the beginning.
But there was definitely a lot more build up from what I've heard. Like, because like for you, I guess Arya kind of like that came out of.
It came out of nowhere, but it was something that it was like a surprise. Whereas like Cap picking up Mjolnir was like a surprise, but it was also like
inevitable.
Oh, damn, like. He earned that. He like he deserves it. Like we thought, we were hoping that would happen for him. Whereas like
so good,
we needed someone to kill the Night King. We thought it was going to be one guy, and then it ends up being the other person who like really trained for it and deserves it. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, and it was just such like a crazy reveal. Also,
I think if I had to pinpoint it, it's because that was more shocking, mm-hmm. and Captain was more like. Inevitable, like
I think I was literally just about to say that. Whereas, like that was like a shock value, amazing thing. This was more of like a validation thing.
Yes,
like it was.
You
like
felt like yes, he deserved this.
You were like, he's had this coming for 10 years now. Like he
And then I even said it too, like in our episode about the Avengers. What I love about that was Captain America and Tony Stark. They fit our old school model of what a hero is, and there's nothing more.
Yeah.
And they took us from here to the end of the decade, and then they handed it over.
Yeah.
And they said the new generation can be the next Tony Stark. The new generation can be the next Captain America. Yeah. And even now saying that gives me this it's not patronizing, like, we as the white, the cool white.
Now we're done with it. You can have it. It's like,
no, it felt like just a natural, like, you have now watched us for the last 10 years, and now we're in a decade. We're entering a decade where literally anything can be the hero.
Yeah.
And we're okay with that. We are gladly stepping. It just felt like such a great payoff for those characters, mm-hmm. and such a perfect transition for, like, whatever the future holds.
Yeah.
And just, like, if we could, as Americans, be what Captain America represents.
I mean,
I just,
if we could get 2/3 of America, Americans, to be Captain America.
That is the ass of America.
That's America.
That is America's ass.
Salute.
Wow. That happened.
Oh my God.
Other significant things. We got Get Out. We got Get Out in 2017.
That was crazy.
The 1-2 punch of Get Out and Black Panther were like, hey, I think black people can be in movies other than Madea's, whatever the hell.
I think they're people too.
I mean, but think about that, because like the first half of the 2010s, if I was seeing a movie with an all black cast, it was something like Madea's, sad churchy type film.
That's kind of the only thing that.
Or a reunion film. Yeah.
But then, and speaking of all ethnic casts, we also got Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes.
Which was amazing. Oh my God, I have to add that to my list too. Crazy Rich Asians is just such a great movie, and I can always watch that.
And the cool thing about it is, like, we're getting to a point where our mixed, like, casts mm-hmm. don't have to make a statement.
Yeah. It
you
can
know?
Just be mixed and not.
It's just like, yeah, we can just make, like, because I think that was what was interesting. Like, Get Out definitely had something to say. I've talked about this many times. I'm not going to get into it now, but it had something to say culturally.
Yeah.
Great. Black Panther, it does have things to say culturally, but I would say all in all, it's just a superhero film.
Yeah. Exactly.
That just so happens to have, like, you know, like the African culture and heritage in it.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be anything else.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. It's about as African and black as Thor is, whatever, the Valhalla.
As Thor is Nordic.
As Thor is Nordic. It's like, it's not making a statement about that. It's just like, this is where it takes place in, and we're going to appreciate that.
This is the inspiration. This is where it comes from, but this is the story we're telling.
Yeah, not every film has to be Get Out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and Crazy Rich Asians literally is just like, imagine all of your favorite old school romantic, like, big films now has Asians.
Yeah.
But they're not just window dressing. Like, we actually are, like, involved in that culture.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It couldn't have taken place in another.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, it makes even the most crusty of racists be able to enjoy it. All right, what else? I'm not going to mention Black. Oh, well, we got Inception. And movie trailers were never the same since.
Yeah, I was like, Inception was a really big one.
Inception is still a big one. That was exactly 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
And we freaking love that film.
I've been dreaming ever since, you know?
I actually was having dreams within dreams after I saw that film.
Really?
I would wake up within a dream and go, this is not a real dream. And I would keep waking up.
Why are you so impressionable? I cannot deal with you. You're just so funny.
Dude, my dreams, like, I straight up can, like, manipulate my dreams mm-hmm. if I want to.
And then we got Frozen. So that was great.
That was in 2013. That's 13. Insane.
So, and then we also obviously got Let It Go out of that. And that was a cultural phenomena in itself.
That kind of feels like an anthem. Maybe not for the entire decade, but
that's
like,
an anthem for Disney for this decade.
That's definitely a top. Like, if there is a top 10 of, like, the most popular.
Yeah.
It would have to be an interesting list. It'd have to take from anthems, everything.
Popular anthems. That's definitely top.
I'd be shocked if it didn't make, like, a top 10, top 15 at least.
Easily top 10, I think. Yeah, no,
whether you like it or not, it's there.
Exactly.
You can't let go of Let It Go.
Let It Go.
And every DJ since has instantly regretted or hated that song. Same way they probably hate all the single ladies.
Oh, like DJs as far as like requests. I thought you meant like a club DJ. It's like, what club is playing Let It Go?
Let It Go. Oh, wait. Can we go back to the fact that freaking dubstep like rose and died hard death?
Okay, I was like, I didn't know.
Dude, Skrillex was the shit back in like 2010s. We were just like, man, give me that dubstep. Give me that hard womp womps, you know?
I wasn't about dubstep at all. So. And then it was like dead. We're done.
Well, it's so aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's like if your favorite thing is a bowl of sugar every day, after like about 2 days, you're like, hey guys, why am I eating a bowl of sugar every day? That's what it felt like. Like, it's definitely like dubstep from the get-go was going to have a limited shelf life.
Yeah.
Like, it was never going to be something. It's just so aggressive. And it's the same thing. Like, I really hate minimizing people's taste in music, but sometimes certain songs really just are the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
And dubstep, I love it. I love it.
You're like,
I do like it. I'm very big into EDM and dubstep.
Yeah. Anytime he's coming up to my apartment, I just hear bum, 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 and I'm like, well,
but it is the same thing over and over again. And dubstep's just like the crazy ass uncle of EDM, where you're just like,
so I'm here. Yeah.
That lived and died. Anyway, we're still in movies. What else? Oh, do you have anything else before I hit this big one?
No, hit the big one.
Hit the big one. All right. December 11th, 2014. Were the Sony hacks. So that's when a North Korean group, a North Korean group called Guardians of Peace, at least that's what the FBI says, they hacked into Sony Pictures, and they released all of this information. Like, they just hacked into their system and released it all because they were super pissed off that Seth Rogen and James Franco were making a film called The Interview.
Yep.
That was essentially about killing Kim Jong-un.
Yes.
And they were like, we're not having that.
Primarily about that.
And they released all this information, and that significantly changed. Like, there was a lot of things that changed because Sony just... It was kind of like a weird doomsday thing where we were just like, holy shit, like someone just hacked into us, America.
Yeah.
And basically just released a bunch of scripts.
Yeah.
And
luckily that was all that happened.
I just remember it was very eerie. I was hearing about these hacks and there was something very close to home about it.
Yeah.
I mean, have to imagine, like, when Pearl Harbor happened, we didn't have wars on our, like, we had civil wars, but we weren't having like other people attack us.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like when you fight with your family, but then someone says something, you're like, hey.
You can't say that, exactly.
You know, and then we had it brought to our doorstep. It's like anytime America has things brought to the, you know, September 11th, we have things brought to our doorstep. We're just like,
yeah.
What?
We're not used to that.
This isn't what we asked for.
But you did ask for it in this case because.
We argued about this.
As I was like, as I've argued with you before, that was a stupid move. Like, you don't make a movie about killing a world leader, like a legit world leader. You can do a movie about killing Kong Jong Prune, you know, where it's like, we all know who it's supposed to be, but like, it's not. They straight up were like, we're going to kill this psychotic dictator in our movie. How did you expect that to go?
Do you know who played Kim Jong-un in the interview?
Who?
Randall Park, who plays the father on Fresh Off the Boat.
Oh, fun.
And that was the first time I ever saw him. I went, I don't know who this guy is, but he's brilliant.
He's great.
And I've loved him ever since.
Yeah. I remember just being like not at all surprised. People were like, what? They shelved that movie? And I was like, yeah, you idiot. You can't make a movie like that.
But it was the biggest online digital release that Sony's ever had. And I remember, I kid you not, we sat down to watch it the day after Christmas with Mikey again. Haha, name
hey,
drop.
Bud.
We sat down. It was this. I don't think I've ever remembered a moment where we all just were like, hey, I kind of want to watch this. It was like we were intrigued by it. And we felt super American to watch it. It was like, you can't stop us, North Korea. We're going to digitally rent this film and watch the hell out of it.
I did see it. All right. Well, this has been fun.
Film and entertainment. Okay. Anything else? Oh, the most like really important things that happened this decade: the Me Too movement and Black Lives
Matter.
Forever splitting Facebook in half.
All lives matter. Cool. Or like straight pride. Ew. That's so dumb. Straight. And it actually was a thing.
Was
like,
it?
They so like people were like, ooh, why don't we get straight pride? And then they like we're gonna have a straight pride. And I was like, that's so dumb. And then they actually tried to have a straight pride and it was a complete fail. Nobody showed up and it was really boring. And you're like, yeah, who's going to straight pride? It's all straight people.
Here's my thing about like the Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter. Yes, in theory, all lives do matter.
Exactly.
What they're saying is that at this moment in particular,
let's remember that Black lives matter because it's not seeming like it.
It doesn't feel as if all lives are mattering. Mm-hmm. So we are singling out and we are having, you know, and it's interesting how like we as Americans are very prideful. And I say that in the best way. We are like super like individually or as Americans, like we just take something that we like and we get super into it. Mm-hmm. Unless it's people we don't like. Yeah. And then we get really pissed off and then we get very defensive about pride, mm-hmm. Which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And apparently we act like kids on a playground where it's like, no, we can only have this much room.
Yeah.
We're getting to a point now where we're enough generations of the younger group have grown up with more tolerance.
Yeah.
How is that going to translate in terms of the culture that we put out and then consume? How is that going to translate in terms of the politics that we back? How is just that going to translate in general? How is the how are countries outside of America going to hear what we're basically, because we're the broadcasters. If we say that New York is comprised of all white people because that's just who we casted in a film, everyone outside will think, oh, that's how it is.
New York is all white people.
We are the ones who essentially tell the rest of the world what culture is. Mm-hmm. That's mind blowing.
Yeah.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember going to Japan and I was like, these are the people that make almost all the shit that we consume.
Yeah.
And yet they are, and they have their own culture.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong, but they are obsessed with American culture. It is everywhere. And it's just so crazy. I was like, I am in freaking Japan. This is not like what some would say a third world country. Mm-hmm. They're very much up to date with everything. And yet they can't get enough of us, of Americans. Mm-hmm. And whatever we say with our films, our media, our politics, they eat it up. That's not to do any disservice to anybody outside of America that they're only motivated by what we say, but it is just, we are like a big brother to a lot of people.
I was about to say, where it's like, oh, it's kind of like, it's interesting hearing what they say. Like, I'm going to listen to that.
Yeah, maybe not big brother in an arrogant way where it's like, we're so smart and bigger, but we're like the cool person that a lot of people look up to. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that we're...
such an American thing. Like, we're the cool country. We're not like a regular country. We're a cool country.
Other people have deemed us that way. That's why I'm like saying we're not the older brother because we're wiser and obviously we're not older.
Yeah.
But we definitely are looked up to by a lot of other countries, even if it's annoying. We're like, ugh, I hate what they're saying, but I'll still listen to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like my relationship with reality TV.
I hate what they're saying, but I'm gonna watch. Man.
So yeah, let's Black hey, next 10 matter. Year let's t- next 10 years I can't wait to see what our films and media say.
Yeah, let's meet up, let's do this again. Yeah, to follow up what you said basically and just cohesivize it, hopefully in the future we'll be able to listen to other people's cries for help and attention and not turn it around and be like, but you're not the only one suffering, it's us too. You know,
cool.
And just be like
straight pride.
Yeah. And just be like, no, like you're having a problem right now. Let's focus on you.
Right. Yes. Yes. It's like if a child is crying, you go, you know, my life matters too, child.
I mean, some people do that. Some people go, wah, I'm hungry too.
Thanks, mom. Not my actual mom. I love you.
Love you, baby.
All right. So are we doing a top three?
I mean, do you feel like you need to? Because I feel like we're good.
Well, I mean, I did mention the one thing I would, my bow on this, my favorite. Do you want to say at least your one favorite takeaway from the past 10 years?
Ariana Grande.
That's it?
Love you, babe.
Cool. My number one takeaway, not nostalgia, but the culture of wholesomeness.
Okay.
Our obsession with like Bob Ross and Mr. Rogers, and the fact that we are really just like, we genuinely crave people who are who they are. And I think that's about the best thing. Like, that to me is the best thing that could have come out of our like craving or insatiable craving for nostalgia, mm-hmm. is like, it's not that we want to go back. It's like, we're starting to appreciate the values of like just black and white issues, like not having this gray moral area where it's like, it just is, some things are just good.
Yeah.
And we need to really pursue just wholesome, good things, like people who are genuine, people who care, people who are giving, you know,
yeah.
Best thing to come out of the past 10 years. And it's only been the last like few, like four or five, and we're like, hey, we need to go to therapy.
Yeah.
We need to deal with some of our shit. Like,
yeah. I feel like everybody, therapy is getting popular.
Oh yeah. Getting real popular. Yeah.
I'm going next week. Yay.
Possibly. Oh, next week?
No, I didn't plan it yet, but.
Great.
I'll call next week. I keep putting it off.
All right. So yeah, I guess, do we have a wheel of morality? Moral? I think I just said it, right?
Peanut butter.
All lives matter.
All lives. What is a good wheel of morality, Moral?
For the past 10 years?
Family. We did that one already, though.
Why don't we just reconvert this whole episode to 3D?
Oh my God.
In 3D! All right.
This is fun. I think we hit all the stuff. Quick in memoriam to things that died this semester, this 10 years. Not people, just the...
Yeah, we have a list of people, but we're not going to hit that.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Well, first and foremost, Blockbuster.
May you live in peace.
May you rest in peace. I'm sorry, hon. And then we've got your favorite.
The Vine app.
Ah, sorry, hon. In the arms of the angel. And then last but not least, as far as like what we just kind of popped in our heads while we were making this list, Toys R Us went down,
but it is coming back.
I heard they're trying to come back, but they went down pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause you know, we have Amazon now.
Yeah.
Apparently Borders also went down during these last 10 years.
Oh, really?
Honestly, I'm surprised Barnes & Noble lasted.
Is Barnes & Noble still around?
Yeah.
I thought they died a while ago.
No, they're still here.
Okay.
Still selling those expensive ass books.
I mean, because they're the last ones, so they have to kind of stay and hold that mantle, I guess.
Shooketh.
Well, that was on Wednesday's We Wear Pink. Make sure that if you enjoyed this episode, you're going to go ahead and give us a like, comment, and subscription. Go ahead and follow us on Spotify. We are also on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating and a 5-star review, please, and thank you.
Do it.
And go ahead and subscribe to us on YouTube and hit that bell for notifications on new uploads. And make sure, please, if you love this, if you are laughing so hard that you're dropping dumbbells on your throat, if you live, make sure you share this podcast with your friends and family.
Heck yeah. Mm-hmm. And let us know what your favorite things were from the past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to cover, guys. I mean, there's so much.
Yeah.
So much to cover here. And we didn't even get to like the people that passed away in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I'll just say RIP Robin Williams.
Yeah. We had a lot of disagreements on that that list anyway. On whether people died, just who we were going to mention.
Robin Williams did not die. Something we didn't mention, though, was that freaking we got Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because, like, if you would have said that to us 10 years ago, we'd be like, yeah, screw that guy. And now we're like, oh.
Was it really?
We're more culturally sensitive now that we're not just a complete dicks about it.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not belittling I'm not taking away what they did, but just it's interesting how, like, American, like, hoorahness
is. Which president got him? Obama. Let's just throw that out there. Black people don't play.
But some people don't believe he died.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
Him and Robin are probably plotting something somewhere.
What?
That wasn't.
Don't say that.
Cut that out.
I'm cutting that
cut
out.
Cut that out.
You cut that out.
I'll cut it out.
Anyway. So this has been fun. It's been a great episode. Look forward to doing this.
In 10 years. We're just going to pick this up randomly. Being surprised, motherfuckers.
We're still around. But until that happens. I'm Josiah Rizzo.
I'm Benji Jones.
And on Wednesdays, we wear pink.